पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जिता मा कृतस्य स्वस्थनम् पूर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजे विशेष चातं समा एवं त्वयि नान्यतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूर्य नाम ते लोका अन्धेन तमसा वृथा तामस्ते प्रीत्या विगच्छन्ति एके चात्महनो जना अने जदेकं मनसो जैवो
जदेकं मनसो जवीयो
नैन देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमासात् तद्धावतोऽन्यन्नत्येति तिष्ठात् तस्मिन्नपो मातृष्वा ददाति तद्दै जति आज है पांच
वी फिनिश नो फोर्थ हो गया ना फिनिश
चौथा खत्म हो गया
हाँ हो गया तदेजति तन्नैजति
तद्दूरे तद्वान्तिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदो सर्वस्य बाह्यतः
द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड वॉक्स एंड डज नॉट वॉक इज फार अवे एंड इज वेरी नियर एज वेल बट ही इज वेरी नियर एज वेल He is within everything and yet he is outside of everything. Radhika Vala Prabhu, read first paragraph loudly. Read.
Here is a description of some of the Supreme Lord's transcendental activities executed by his inconceivable potencies. The contradictions given here prove the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. He walks and he does not walk. Ordinarily, if someone can walk, it is illogical to say he cannot walk. But in reference to God, such a contradiction simply serves to indicate his inconceivable power. With our limited fund of knowledge, we cannot accommodate such contradictions. And therefore, we conceive of the Lord in terms of our limited powers of understanding. For example, the impersonalist philosophers of the Mayavad school accept only the Lord's impersonal activities and reject his personal feature. But the members of the Bhagavad school, adopting the perfect conception of the Lord, accept his inconceivable potencies and thus understand that he is both personal and impersonal. The Bhagavatas know that without inconceivable potencies, there can be no meaning to the words Supreme Lord.
So, many people say that the Hare Krishnas have a personal conception of God. We are personalists, correct? No! We are not personalists. We accept that God is impersonal. God is impersonal. No? Then what is? So you are saying that God cannot be impersonal. He is saying God is actually personal, but we can, for philosophical sake, we can also consider him impersonal. What is the meaning of... Yes, you say. The correct understanding is God is both. Our understanding of Krishna is, what does Purnam mean? Purnam means complete. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna is complete and also pure at the same time. We will come to the purity section when we take a later verse of a Upanishad. And Prabhupada's own lecture says, if theft is bad, stealing is bad, Can Krishna steal? Yes or no? But he is a complete thief. And he is the biggest thief. And he is the purest thief. Is adultery bad or good? Dancing with other people's wives, is it good or bad? It will be bad from our mundane understanding. So can Krishna do it? Yes. And he can do it on a very large scale. Telling lies is bad. Is Krishna a liar? He is the purest liar. And he is the biggest liar. And then Prabhupada said, rascal, Krishna is the biggest rascal. He can't be that. Cheating, is it good or bad? Bad. Can Krishna cheat? He can cheat to the highest extent. So therefore, he says, our understanding of Krishna is not one-sided. Here it is. The Mayavad school, they accept only the Lord's impersonal. So when they say God is impersonal, they say God cannot be personal. There are some devotees of Krishna who say that Krishna's activities as a young boy, they are having so many doubts about that. So they only worship Bal Gopal. As a small toddler, as a baby. Babies are very innocent. We don't condone that, or we don't accept the whole philosophy like that. Pushti Margis, they only worship Krishna as a baby boy. Some Pushti Margis. Maya, only impersonalism. So for impersonalism, ask them about Krishna Ras Leela, they say it is an allegory, it is imagination. There is a letter, if you want to read in Prabhupada's letters, where one person is trying to defend, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada, that somebody talked to me about Ras Leela in a very bad way. So, Swamiji, that time Prabhupada was Swamiji, or maybe he was just Abhay Babu. I defended Krishna's Ras Leela by telling him that this is a very nice way of understanding how emotions and desires, they dance around the soul. Prabhupada said, if you can't explain properly, don't explain in such nonsensical way. That is like somebody who is a friend and you are having some big wound on your body and he is giving some medicine from his imagination. So better than no medicine, or better than, what is that? Better no medicine than this kind of wrong medicine. Nim hakim khatraye jaan, nim mulla khatraye iman. Nim hakim, adha doctor is khatraye jaan. He can take away your life. And nim mulla, half philosopher, khatraye iman, he can kill your faith. So it is very dangerous. The members of the Bhagavata school, इसका ये कहां गया? ये लाया नहीं? Very good. So I'm supposed to write on air? He said he'll bring the whole thing.
Krishna says he's the
biggest
cheater, and also he promises that Name Bhakta Pranshati. So people ask, what do we accept? Which part?
Yutam Vayaramasmi. I am the gambler of the cheats. Of all kinds of cheating, gambling is supposed to be the best gambler is the biggest cheat. Gandhi, he trembled when somebody asked him that, Oh Krishna, in your Bhagavad Gita, why this gambling and cheating is mentioned? So he sort of winged it. He said, something. He said, Krishna's name is Mohan. His name also was Mohan. So we are saying Krishna's name is Mohan. Mohan means Mohan. No. One doesn't fall into illusion. This is damn nonsense. Mohan has nothing to do with not falling into illusion. So this is the kind of way to solve one problem. As you tell one lie, and then every subsequent question you have to answer with a lie. Like if somebody says, yesterday you were in the computer room and you stole the disk. No, I was in Andheri. What are you doing in Andheri? I was with a friend. Which friend? Dinesh. What is his phone number? So every time you tell another question, you answer the lie because nothing exists. So similarly, if you don't understand something about Krishna, then you give some answer, which is a lie. And then you ask another question. It has to be another lie. If Krishna and his dancing is imaginary, then why somebody like Vyasdeva wrote this? So like Shankaracharya, he said Vyas Bhranta. He also was an illusion when he wrote that. So how can he fall in illusion? For some time. But how for some time? That's a Leela. Leela. Somebody's Leela. Somebody Leela means somebody enjoying. Leela potency, agreed, there is a Leela. But whom does she serve? Okay, your question is, if pen hai. And Krishna says, I give a solemn promise, my devotee will never be destroyed. So whom do we believe? The first one or the second one? Should we believe that Krishna cheats? So we don't perform bhakti for him. So he may take everything and like this chit fund companies and the multi-level marketing companies, he may just promise everything. As I say, he may promise earth and pay dirt. Mark Twain said, if you don't lie in the beginning, then you don't have to remember what you said. Because what you said is truth. You know how the criminals, they said, what were you doing on 23rd afternoon? So he said, I was sleeping. After 5 days, again they asked him, so 23rd afternoon, what were you doing? So he has to remember what I said that day. If I don't say the same thing, he'll say, that day you said this, now you're saying this. Even Bhagavad school, our acharyas, they catch Mayavad like this. That once you said Krishna is superhuman and he is actually God. Now you are saying he is God, but he has mortal tendencies. How is this possible? So they answer some part somewhere. How do we answer? Any suggestions? How do we answer this query from Gaur Govind Prabhu? That Krishna cheats. And Krishna says, I protect my devotee at any cost. Yes. Okay, that solution he gave. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. What does it mean? You don't be a cheater. Any other? He is saying Krishna cheats materialist people only in the form of death. Doesn't teach devotees. He cheats us of material desires, material attachments. Yes. Whenever Krishna cheats, it is for the ultimate good of the devotee. Huh? For his good. Even if Krishna cheats, it is for the ultimate good of the person. The understanding is, Krishna says, my devotee never perishes, but he says that through his devotee. So, Krishna makes his pure devotee give some promise. And then he sees to it, that thing is always upheld. So more than what Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, if devotees follow his pure devotees, then you are having a double ironclad guarantee, as they say. No? Not acceptable? You can't understand. Krishna, in this classic Bhagavad Gita case, our acharyas reveal that prati jani hi kaunteya name bhakta pranashyati. Now all these things he has said himself. This world belongs to me, I am Saraswati Prabhavo, and so many things. This is what happens, this is how somebody goes up, this is how somebody comes down. But this one particular crucial thing, he says, Arjuna, you go and declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. Now why Arjuna comes in the picture now? So Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Krishna is thinking in his own heart that what promise I gave to Bhishma and the Kauravas, that I won't take any weapons in this war. I am going to break that promise today only. Or in the coming days. Not today, in the coming days. So maybe sometimes I may give some promise, but for the sake of my beloved devotees, I may break that. I may not follow. Therefore he says to Arjun, you give that promise to others, the whole world, that Krishna's devotee will never perish. And when you give that promise, now it becomes my duty to see that, hey, my devotee has said something. Now I can't allow that statement to go false. So, Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, why this pillar may not have Vishnu? He's everywhere. He says, no, tell me exactly. Is he here? When he said yes, that was the time when Lord Vishnu was forced to appear through that pillar. Not that he was waiting in the pillar. He's everywhere. He doesn't need to wait to appear from some particular place. But he had to uphold the statement of his devotee. So, Prabhupada, when he said, just chant 16 rounds, follow four principles, associate with devotees, take prasad, that's it. That'll take you back home, back to Godhead. So we need not doubt that. So anything which the Lord says, there can be a chance. Here and there. Bro, 19 bhi ho sakta hai. But what the devotee says, that in this age only this is enough. That's it. So Lord Chaitanya comes in the mood of his devotee. Any other examples, Shastri examples of a devotee saying something and that was upheld? Yes. Yes. He said, anyone touches my book, guaranteed he'll get a human form of life. Minimum. He said, these books are like deities. You can worship them. You can offer prasad to them. Brahma gave so many long list of benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. And Krishna, as Vishnu, he came and said, hey, don't give so much, Baba. Big problem for me. You say something, then I have to uphold it. Yeah. Bhishma said, somehow I will make Krishna. He made me broke my promise. Now I am going to see that he breaks his promise. So for the sake of that love, he did. But Duryodhana and others, when they try to persuade Krishna, he doesn't care a fig about that. Like Duryodhana lavishly made so many preparations, made nice palatial mansions. Krishna didn't stay in any. Or he didn't eat any of the food he offered. He rejected that. Okay, next paragraph. Can someone read? Where's the mic? Yeah, please read. From we should not.
We should not take it for granted that because we cannot see God with our eyes, the Lord has no personal existence. Sri Ishopanishad refutes this argument by declaring that the Lord is far away but very near also. The abode of the Lord is beyond the material sky, and we have no means to measure even this material sky. If the material sky extends so far, then what to speak of the spiritual sky, which is altogether beyond it? That the spiritual sky is situated far, far away from the material universe is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15.6. But despite the Lord's being so far, He can at once, within less than a second, descend before us with a speed swifter than that of the mind or wind. He can also run so swiftly that no one can surpass Him. This has already been described in the previous verse.
Read next paragraph also.
Yet when the personality of Godhead comes before us, we neglect Him. Such foolish negligence is condemned by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, where He says that the foolish deride Him, considering Him a mortal being. He is not a mortal being, nor does He come before us with a body produced of material nature. There are many so-called scholars who contend that the Lord descends in a body made of matter, just like an ordinary living being. Not knowing His inconceivable power, such foolish men place the Lord on an equal level with ordinary men.
So 15.6 is what is 15.6? Natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka. So Prabhupada is saying here, we should take it for granted that because we cannot see God, He has no personal existence. This refutes the argument by saying that the Lord is far away, but very near also. And then Prabhupada talks of today's scientists, they are saying that this universe itself, the nearest star may be something like 40,000 light years away. So how can you penetrate the whole shell of the universe and go beyond it? It's not possible. Yet, when the personality of Godhead comes before us, we neglect Him. Such foolish negligence is condemned by the Lord in Gita 9.11. What is that? Avjananti ma muda. Where He says that the foolish deride Him, considering Him a mortal being. He is not a mortal being, does not come before us with a body produced of material nature. There are many so-called scholars who contend that the Lord descends in a body made of matter, just like an ordinary living being. Just like a king, when he descends into a prison house to check the life of the prisoners. Somebody may say, today the king also is a prisoner. Right? Because he is staying with the prisoners there. How do we know, let's take this example only, that the king is not a prisoner? He can go out. When he goes out, then we know that, hey, he's not an ordinary person. He can go at his own will. Read next paragraph, Madhur Gupta Prabhu.
Because he is full of inconceivable potencies, God can accept our service through any sort of medium, and He can convert His different potencies according to His own will. Non-believers argue either that the Lord cannot incarnate Himself at all, or that if He does, He descends in a form of material energy. These arguments are nullified if we accept the existence of the Lord's inconceivable potencies. Then we will understand that even if the Lord appears before us in the form of material energy, it is quite possible for Him to convert this energy into spiritual energy. Since the source of the energies is one and the same, the energies can be utilized according to the will of their source. For example, the Lord can appear in the form of Archvigraha, a deity supposedly made of earth, stone or wood. Deity forms, although engraved from wood, stone or other matter, are not idols, as iconoclast contend.
Any questions about this? Very simple. Read the next paragraph, Pramkushavu, from in our present state.
In our present state of imperfect material existence, we cannot see the Supreme Lord due to imperfect vision. Yet those devotees who want to see Him by means of material vision are favored by the Lord, who appears in a so-called material form to accept His devotees' service. One should not think that such devotees who are in the lower stage of devotional service are worshipping an idol. They are factually worshipping the Lord, who has agreed to appear in an approachable way. Nor is the arjuna according to the worshipper. This form is eternally existent with all the paraphernalia. This can be actually felt by a sincere devotee, but not an atheist.
Vallabh Chaitanya, read the next paragraph.
In the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says that He treats His devotee depends on the devotee's degree of surrender. The Lord reserves the right not to reveal Himself to anyone and everyone, but to show Himself only to those souls who surrender unto Him. Thus, for the surrendered soul, He is always within reach, whereas for the unsurrendered soul, He is far, far away and cannot be approached.
So, even the deity form is here said to be an incarnation. And this is something which you can really note it down, because nobody understands things like that. Why does the Lord appear in the material form? Not because He is material. Because our vision is so materially contaminated, or as Prabhupada puts it here, those devotees who want to see Him by means of material vision. Those devotees who want to see Him by means of material vision are favored by the Lord, who appears in His so-called material form to accept His devotee's service. Is it clear, this statement? Just like there was this sadhu and he was in the palace of a king, and the king was a non-believer in deity worship and idol. He was calling it statues and idol worship. So there was a big portrait of the king. So he told the minister, "You spit on the canvas." He said, "What do you mean? This is a king." He said, "This is not a king. This is just canvas. Spit on this." He said, "I'll lose my head if I do this." He said, "Why do you think that this particular canvas, which has some combination of paints, which makes it appear like the face of your own king, and you may lose your head if you spit on this?" That means that appearance of your king has given it the potency that this is as good as a king. This is to be properly treated. This is to be properly respected. But at the same time, when the Lord is worshipped in the form of a deity, you think that is just stone? You can't imagine what havoc is caused in India by so-called big scholars and philosophers and spiritual leaders. One of them said, there was a very big man in Bombay. He was in charge of demolition. It was a terror. All unauthorized shops and huts, he would just go and demolish it. So one day he said, "I am a non-believer in God. Because in our village, on the outskirts of the village, there was a small temple. One day I went to pray there." He was from a very simple family, and his family was exploited. He said, "I went to pray to God to help me. And then he saw a small rat climb on the shoulder of the deity. So he said, if he can't take care of his own self, how can he take care of me?" The argument was, if God cannot take care of a rat climbing on his body and eating his clothes, how can he help me? And to top it, I read one explanation given by one so-called philosopher. He's saying that the Lord is the father of all creatures. So if one of his own sons climbs on his body, Then what is the problem? So here we have completely rascal non-believers who are willing to, you know, cast their doubts when they see something like this. And the answers are given by such people who only appeal to their sense of emotion or whatever. Do you see that today's person with Western type of education will be satisfied with this kind of things? No reason why so many people become atheists. For example, if somebody says, I am a disbeliever in physics, I don't believe in physics. You say, what is the reason? No, I failed in all the times I appeared in physics, I failed. That means, you know, you are incompetent. Or if somebody says, I don't believe in this law, you say, do you have the situation there where something is said in the books and that doesn't happen? Then you can say you are a disbeliever. So, in India we have to be aware of these two parties. One is one who throws doubts without proper grounding in that understanding. And the bigger danger is from those who try to satisfy those doubts. Yes, what is your question?
The same example which you quoted is given by the leader of Arya Samaj, Dayanand Saraswati, in Punjab. And actually, he says that during Shivaratri, he went in Lord Shiva's temple and whole night he was there and he saw this rat. And incidentally, my mother, she studies in Arya Samaj school. So, one day they had the same thing and she answered, she said, would you have been happy if Lord Shiva would have come doing Tandav Nritya with having one trident in hand and kill that mouse at the same time? Would that have pleased Dayanand Saraswati? That's what he's expecting Lord Shiva to come and do. Doing Tandav Nritya and kill that small.
Yeah.
Murti nahi tumi sakshat Brajendra Nandan. There is the one.
That is the Sakshi Gopal story.
Sakshi Gopal story.
Yeah, so those who are devotees, for them it's a different thing because there is reciprocation involved here. The Gita 4.11, what is 4.11?
Also, like when they put a statue to Ambedkar with shoes, then there is a big violence, communal violence.
Yeah, there are political figures, their statues are made in all street corners and then somebody puts a garland of chappals thinking that I am insulting him and somebody says actually he is insulted. So there are, it's a big dangerous game.
He said that if deities, because many times deities are different poses, Krishna is black, white and different postures are there, then say that it's imagination. So how to answer those people?
He is saying that Krishna has different, the murtis are of different color, black, white. So how do we prove that this deity is bona fide, it is not a concoction of somebody's mind? How do we understand? Just a moment. We'll write it down. Deities are bona fide. By the way, always make the spelling E-I. Huh? Jyotirindra Maharaj says, deities never die. It's never deities. So what is the proof that deities are bona fide? 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. That means there is elaborate description given in Shastras. What else? Huh? No. That covers everything. That what deity should be, how a deity should be made, should be from some relevant Shastra. Now whether Shastra is bona fide or not is another thing. Isn't it? That will lead to another. So you have this triangle. We'll just take care of that in this. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. What else is there? personal realization. Yeah, that means the whole thing is covered in this Shastric description. Pastimes. Like in Udupi, it is actually documented that there is a big door, and normally when there is a door like that, the deity faces the door. So that's how people come and take darshan. But now you will find the door is like this and the people are coming taking darshan like this. So the story that the Lord changed his face to show his lotus face to his devotee is not that somebody just moved him. There is a description that this is how the temple was constructed and now the deity has changed his face. So there are personal realizations, there are stories, there are anecdotes. This is one more thing. If you say that Lord cannot appear in the material form, then it is putting a limitation on him. Yes. Another thing, these energies of Krishna are his own personal energies. So they can act in any way for him. Like electrical energy in the hands of an engineer, he can create cold out of that, coolness, ice out of that, or he can create heat out of that. Electricity is neither hot nor cold. One of the most important things in deity worship is, when does the Lord actually enter the deity form? When requested and prayed by a pure devotee. So if any non-devotee person, even if he follows the instructions of the Shastras and fashions a deity just according to the Shastric descriptions, there is no guarantee that Krishna will appear through that. In many Mayavad societies, temples, there is also Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, but they appear like lifeless mannequins who are in a tailor's shop or a cloth window. There is no difference in them. Prabhupada said, what should be the standard of Hare Krishna worship? He said, any newcomer, if he comes, he should feel that any moment they can start speaking. He said, any moment, those deities can just start moving, speaking. They are like, it's like a, you know, like those movies where suddenly the movie, there's a freeze frame. Like somebody, again it starts. So, and many people feel like that. Because there is so much of reciprocation. That's what the Lord says. He only comes because he sees that some devotee has requested. Please come. These people cannot see but any material form. So Krishna is not material. But he reciprocates with the pure devotee's wish to come through a material form. This is okay? Read next paragraph, Shailen Prabhu. Read from In This Connection.
Towards the revealed scriptures, often applied to the Lord. Saguna with qualities and Nirguna without qualities are very important. The word Saguna does not imply that when the Lord appears with perceivable qualities, he must take on a material form and be subject to the Lord of material nature. For him there is no difference between the material and spiritual energies, because he is the source of all energies. As a Lord controller of all energies, he cannot at any time be under the influence as we are. The material energies work according to his direction. Therefore, he can use that energy for his purposes without ever being influenced by any of the qualities of that energy. In the sense, he is nirguna, without qualities. Nor does the Lord become a formless entity at any time. For ultimately, he is the eternal form, the primeval Lord, his impersonal aspect or Brahma effulgence. He is but the glow of his personal rays, just as the sun rays are the glow of the sun god.
So here the saguna nirguna is explained very nicely. Saguna with qualities, nirguna without qualities. So Mayavadi says the Lord cannot be saguna with material qualities. He has to be nirguna. There is a Vedic statement which says Harihi nirguna sakshat. But our understanding is he doesn't have material qualities. So nirguna means none of the qualities here, they affect him. What is the best example of something within a particular environment but not accepting the qualities of that environment? Yes. That's why we say lotus feet, lotus face. That expression is given here. The lotus doesn't accept any of the qualities of the environment. Nor does the Lord become a formless entity at any time. For ultimately, he is the eternal form. Read next paragraph, Gokularam. Yes, question. Sorry? How do you decide whether some qualities are material or spiritual? How do we decide? Any material quality will have the modes as the main players there. And any quality which is anywhere the modes play the major role, the ending will be in bondage. Where the result of any activity is more material bondage, you can trace it to the original act and say that this whole thing was material. And bondage means future birth. You are sowing the seeds of more material existence. So when Krishna acts, he married, he begat children, he gave philosophical lectures, he would dance with his friends, he chanted, he sang, he fought. Did that create more material bodies for him? For a normal human being, if that is the case, like King Nriga, he gave so many things in charity, then he got a body of a lizard. That means it was material. Or there was some trace of that contamination not gone yet. Bharat Maharaj's affection for the deer, he was thinking it is spiritual, but it was not. Of course, he is a very elevated person. But that affection at that particular point was not exactly a spiritual type of affection. So you had to take two more bodies. So this is how we understand whether something is material or spiritual. Yes, Ananta.
Some atheists or Mayavadis, many times they say that your deity worship is something which is on the lower platform, like which engages your mind or fools your mind that you are happy, you are doing this, and makes you imagine that there is a form like this. But the higher understanding, so how to answer them?
Yeah, many Mayavadis or atheists, they say that deity worship is for widows and idiots, fools who cannot do the higher forms of bhakti, like Gyan Marg Bhakti, who cannot meditate, who cannot do tapasya. So this is answered in Bhagavad Gita in one particular purport, where Prabhupada says, I think it is the 8th chapter or the 12th chapter, one of them, that when impersonalists say bhakti marg is easy, the Prabhupada says, why don't they take these? Where in life do you find that as a rule you take You don't walk. You take the easy path. As they say in, I think it is in logic, you take. This is logic or this is science, philosophy, this is physics. You take the path of least resistance. So, deliberately, why would you say that this is an ignorant person? So you should learn Sanskrit, then you should learn all the shastras, then you should learn how to use logic, then how to meditate, then you can become liberated. No, you don't do that. If it is easy, you are so good that you say, but I prefer the difficult one. And I'll show you I'm expert in both. So if they are expert in the bhakti process, easy process first. They say, Prabhupada, why? Bhakti process is not easy. Therefore, the example of Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur, that tutor who was teaching higher level trigonometry, angle A, B, C, D, E, F, is that thinking, I was only teaching A, B, C, D now, ninth standard now. So they think that it is easy. Not. So what is Lord's compassion? They mistake it for some easy thing. And they deliberately go for the higher process, which they think is more difficult and is more elevated. That is just their misfortune. Yes.
This is question related to deities only. Two questions. One is, if somebody is a pure devotee of Lord Shiva and he invites Shiva to a marble stone which is made of Shiva, will Shiva come? And other thing is, when the Mughals attacked this Vrindavan, Mathura district, and they broke the deities. So, did the deities leave that form? Or what happened?
Well, the answer to the first question is you have to ask Lord Shiva himself, because it is up to him. Just like if somebody invites you for a Rath Yatra in Colombo, Sri Lanka, will you go? You say, well, I have services here, I can't go. But if somebody sends you a ticket and say, please come to the New York Rath Yatra next year, you say, I'm going because I have this. So it all depends upon your relationship with someone.
I said, a pure devotee of Lord Shiva, he will come anywhere. So, will he come, and does only Krishna acts like that, or any other deities act like that?
Ultimate sense, the deity appearing in a particular form or in that particular murti is a personal relationship between the pure devotee and the Lord. Like in Melbourne, Prabhupada came early morning, that evening he installed the deities. And he said, now you take care of everything, I am going. I am putting you in the hands of these people. They are very sincere. Unfortunately, they don't have any background of taking care of deities, and they are simply inadequate in all other respects. But they are very sincere. So you teach them first of all how to take care of yourself. And then only they take good care of you. I assure you that they are all good natured people. So with this kind of prayer, how Krishna can refuse that? In Jew he said, please sit tight. He said, you just don't feel frightened. This kind of thing, not an ordinary person can say. He said, you just keep your chair, like, don't move. I'll see to it that I'll build you a gorgeous temple here. So that's that one two-way reciprocation. And as to what happens when a deity is broken? Well, ultimately when Prabhupada said, what they broke is a stone. They didn't break the Lord. So if at all the Lord gives permission for some reason whatsoever, whether he is not happy with the services done, or he wants to move away, or he wants to show some lesson, whatever it might be, it doesn't make any offense. Like the British government when our Satyagrahis and independent movement people, they would go and break a post office box. Down with British Empire. They say, hey, this is nothing to do with us. If somebody, at that time, Prabhupada said they would have a Prabhat ferry, they would go to some place, and there would be a post box. This is the symbol of the British Empire. So they throw stones at it, throw bricks and with stones and sticks, beat it down. And come back home saying that, at least we have damaged the British Empire to some extent. The British Empire, the Viceroy is sleeping smugly with his wife in his own Viceroy mansion. Nothing happened to him. You're saying something? Yes.
I know one person. He's a kind of spiritual authority, kind of upper sampradaya. His conclusions are that ultimately we have to have love for the Lord and bhakti and there is personalism. But then he says that the meditation process, although it is harder, it is faster, and bhakti means what we are practicing at ISKCON is a slower process than meditating on the form of the Lord and attaining that. His kind of person means they chant this Panchatattva mantra and all, but still there is tinge of Mayavad in their philosophy also.
What mantra they chant?
Panchatattva mantra.
Panchatattva mantra?
Not complete mantra. Upper Sampradaya is they chant. He chants like Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Data Hare Ram Radhe Govinda, like that.
Hare Data.
Hare Data.
Hare Data.
So like that.
So who gave them the mantra?
That his guru gave that.
Don't ask me that. See, this is just like you go to a doctor and he said, what happened here? Don't ask me that. Just give me some cure. Unless the whole thing is revealed, who gave the mantra? How is it authorized? Where it is coming from? How do they know that Lord Chaitanya, if they are chanting Lord Chaitanya's mantra, Lord Chaitanya is pleased with that?
Yeah, okay. That we are clear. But then he says that meditation process is faster than the bhakti process at Vaidhi.
If somebody says, instead of eating grains and beans and curd and rice every day, if you take anabolic steroids, you become a better runner. It is a fact. Why it is banned then? And after 10 years you find a man who becomes a woman, the woman becomes a man. So, after doing this so-called bhakti, after some time you will find your whole thing is morphed. Instead of a devotee, you become a demon. Quick results are there. But that doesn't mean that the quickest process is the surest process, is the safest process. In our own mundane examples, we can find.
And what if one argues that, okay, if he is doing under direction of a guru,
yeah,
then what? Like, it is
guru,
the quickest
guru
process.
Guru doesn't mean that, who made him guru? He go to hell. Both guru and chela go to hell. Lobhi guru, chalu chela, narak mein jaye, thelam thela. Both go wholesale. Unless you come to the source, see, if it is worship, worship means worshipper and the worshipped, and doesn't mean the pleasure of only one. Primarily the pleasure of the worshipped, isn't it? I'm talking common sense. If you say though, I always offer Rudraksha malas to Lord Krishna. I do it with much love. He said, but do you know it is not offerable? No, but I really do it with so much love. Who cares for your love? If you are doing something nonsensical, even with love, that's why Rupa Goswami very intelligently said, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina. Kick it out. Aikantiki. Aikantiki means what? With your own mind as your companion. By your own concoction. Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpata Eva Kalpate. It ends with nothing else but disruption. So don't go for the fast or the slow or this or that process. Everything has to be verified right from the beginning. Why we call these people Upa Sampradaya? upper means, it's like, you know, while traveling railway, going from Bombay to Mathura or to Mayapur, sometimes you don't have anything to do, so you just see the railway tracks. Sometimes you find from your track, one more track comes out, from that another track comes out, from that another track comes out. At one point of time, you will find the fourth one just ends in something. There is a verb stay, there is a valley below it. So for some time, it appears that it is bona fide, it is running parallel to the main track. But then it ends in nothing. There are two things which are stop.
But then they also say that the words of the Guru are like the mantra.
Are, but who made him Guru first? Words of Guru mantra is okay. We are saying that whole thing is bogus from beginning. Somebody had some question? Yes. He is saying that in Maharashtra this is a very popular thing, Nirgun Nirakar Sagun Sakar. So they say that Sagun worship means beads, flowers, deities, temples, that is Sagun worship. That is for the, they say it is just like counting. How do you teach counting in the kindergarten? So what is 3 plus 3? They say 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, and 6. I say, very good. So for your counting, you need your own fingers. So if you tell a kindergarten child, what is 43 plus 74? That's not possible. I don't have so many fingers. So they say, but we can do it in our mind. Therefore, our minds are very capable of doing that kind of counting. Therefore, this kind of worship, where we just imagine something in our mind, is much higher than your offering flowers and a particular deity only you chant in front of the deity. That is much higher. That's not true. We see here, the deity is an incarnation. Most of them feel the deities, and in India, you see the deities are available for sale. So even the Muslims who come, the Christians who came, they say, how can something right now, your business shop suddenly becomes God in your home? Like TV set, if it is said TV set 15,000 rupees, now when it comes to your home, it doesn't become some fridge also and oven also, isn't it? It remains a TV only. It doesn't grow beyond what its capacities are. But how come certain small thing which is there in the shop for 300 rupees, you bring it in your house and suddenly it becomes God? You can't understand. That's what the whole process is. But we have in our own mundane vision how something which is very, very, very simple piece of paper suddenly becomes great in value. A check for 5 lakh rupees. What is the value of a check for 5 lakh rupees drawn in my name, that means against my account, without my signature? It has no value. Like if you write a check, pay Jagannath Tirtha Das Brahmachari 5 lakh rupees from Shamanandas' account. Bank say, where is his signature? You can write so many checks in your own home. Where is his signature? So my one signature makes that piece of paper worth 5 lakh rupees. Similarly, anybody can fashion a deity from his own hands, understanding some descriptions. But unless the Lord accepts the invitation to come there, who can that small deity have? Yes. In your town? What town? Hometown. Where? Amritsar.
Times ash manifest or some Mahaprasad manifest from those things. And they say it's very possible.
So these kind of things do happen. Or may happen. Fate also. But at least believe them that Satya Sai was a Satya Sai Baba. No, Satya Sai is there, then it is just yogic. This is going. Sai Baba. It may happen. There is no doubt about it. A person who is a mystic, he may show his mystic power. So our contention is, if a mortal, one human being with some power can show his potency, that are 300 years after his death, he is still creating ash and some Mahaprasad, how much more is the potency of the Supreme Lord? Like Tamalashan Goswami was arguing with people in Fiji. Somebody said, in my place where my guru comes, there was immediately light in the whole room. He said, can your guru light the whole world? He said, no. Then infinitely God is much bigger than him. Because he made one sun which can light up the whole world. No. He created some gold ornament. He said, how big? This big. He said, then we agree that your guru is great. Then how great is God who has created these gold mines? So we don't disagree with them what they say. We just put it in the perspective of how they can do so much. And how God is doing naturally already. My guru cured this fellow of some disease. He gave some leaf and he cured him. So how much good is, great is the curing potency of God who is creating millions of trees of that particular. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.